my shoulders and spins me around. I try to pull away, but he holds tight. Let me go! I pound at his chest with my fists. We have to help her! Listen to me, Sam says. Fear rings his eyes, making them wide. Panic. He clears his throat, struggling to keep his voice steady. Whoever killed Julie is still down here. We have to go now. His words shut everyone up. Aya chokes back a sob and stumbles to her feet. Shayna wraps her arms around her chest. There's movement in the darkness beyond Julie's body. I don't see it, but I feel the air shift around me, and I hear something large and heavy drag across the ground. The reality of our situation hits me like a punch to the gut. Julie isn't just dead. She's been murdered. Someone murdered her. My eyes travel to the wound in her stomach. Raw meat stares out from the gaping hole. The flesh looks shredded, like it's been put through a lawnmower. Blood clumps around her ruined skin, and intestines drip from her gut in a gruesome, glistening tangle. I can see the moldy walls through the wound. Something tunneled straight through Julie's body. Julie's body rocks forward again, and a bloody eyeball hits the ground with a sickening plop. It rolls across the tunnel, stopping at the toe of my shoe. The familiar brown iris stares up at me. I scream, and fear makes my knees buckle. Sam grabs my arm and drags me back to my feet. He says something, his voice urgent. Then we're running. Our shoes slap against the damp, trash-strewn ground, and our breathing comes in gasps. My heart pounds in my ears like a drum. We're so loud. Everyone in the tunnels must hear us. I glance behind me, but the darkness is perfect. It presses against our backs like a solid thing. We run forever. My legs ache and my lungs burn, but whenever I think of slowing, I remember the sound of Julie's eyeball hitting the ground and push myself to move faster. A familiar sound echoes through the darkness behind us, raising the hair on the back of my neck. It's so quiet, I'm not sure it's real. Footsteps. Slow, steady ones. My heart quickens, and I push myself faster, faster, ignoring the dull pain spreading through my bad knee. I think of how long it took us to get down here. It felt like we spent hours wandering around in the dark, calling Julie's name. The phantom footsteps seem louder now, closer. The tunnel opens into a wide space, the subway station. It looks bigger now that everyone's gone. Crushed Solo cups and beer cans litter the platform, and half the candles have blown out. The few still lit send ghostly shapes over the walls and fill the space with eerie light. Sam and Woody dash past the platform, but Aya doubles over next to the wall, trying to catch her breath. Her sobs grow louder. Oh, God, she moans. Oh, God! Quiet! I grab her trembling arm and listen for footsteps. I don't hear anything. But I can't shake the feeling that someone's waiting in the dark, watching. Shayna skids to a stop next to us. We have to run, she hisses. I can't, Aya says, sniffling. Shayna grabs her by the shoulders. If you don't move, you're going to die, she says. She pushes past Aya and runs after the boys without looking back. Nerves crawl over my skin, but I shake them away and hurry after her. I tug on Aya's arm, and she stumbles behind me, still sobbing. Hurry! Woody shouts, racing toward the tunnel at the far side of the cavernous space. We tear past the tracks and down the tunnel, to the ladder that leads back up to the surface. A single lit candle remains, casting light over the bottom rungs. Aya reaches the ladder first, but her hands shake so badly she can't hold onto the rungs. She pulls herself off the ground, then freezes. I step up behind her and touch her hand. "What is it?" I ask. Silent tears roll down her cheeks, smearing her blue eyeliner. "We're gonna die," she whispers. "We're not going to die." I fight to keep my voice steady and clench my hands into fists so Aya won't see how badly they're shaking. "We're getting out. You have to climb." She shakes her head, tightening her grip on the ladder. Sam sucks in a breath. "Even if you get her to climb, she won't be able to lift the manhole cover," he says. Woody moves to Aya's side and gently pries her fingers off the ladder. "Let me go first?" he asks. Aya nods and he eases her back to the ground. "We're going to die," she whispers again. But I think I'm the only one who hears her. I slip an arm around her shoulder and peer into the shadows. I keep expecting my vision to adjust, for the darkness to separate into a floor and walls and a ceiling. But if anything, it seems even darker than before. Woody pulls himself onto the ladder, and the metal groans beneath his weight. A footstep thuds in the shadows. The sound is short and sudden and close. Woody freezes, and the rest of us turn to stare into the darkness. It occurs to me that we're all standing in a pool of candlelight that feels, suddenly, like a bullseye. I hold my breath, listening. Silence. Woody swears and starts climbing again, faster. "Hurry!" Shayna hisses. Her voice sounds more angry than scared, but her eyes cut to the shadows, and she can't stop tapping her foot. One by one, my friends pull themselves up the ladder. The metal screeches and moans beneath their weight. I listen, but hear nothing outside our circle of candlelight. I wish this comforted me, but instead, I think of a lion crouching in the tall grass, watching his prey from a distance. Silence doesn't mean we're alone. Aya climbs up next, and I pull Julie's ring from my pocket as I wait my turn. The shiny black onyx catches the candlelight. I slip her ring onto my finger and twist it so the stone faces my palm. I curl my hand into a fist, letting the onyx dig into my skin. Sharp pain shoots through my hand, but I don't stop squeezing. Julie was special. Anyone who talked to her could see that. She was in honors English with me last year. She sat next to me the day our teacher, Miss Lipton, covered an entire wall with plastic wrap. "Every day I'll write a new word on the wall," Miss Lipton explained. "If you use it in a paper, you get 1 point of extra credit." Julie was slouched across the desk next to mine, her dark hair covering her face. A pencil dangled from her fingers. I thought she was asleep, but then she tapped the pencil against her desk. Tap, tap, pause, tap. Morse code. She taught me over the weekend, so we could talk, secretly, in class. I grinned and scribbled the message in the corner of my notebook. "Miss Lipton has lipstick on her teeth." I don't realize I'm crying until I taste salt on my lips. I wipe my cheeks with the backs of my hands. Crying won't bring Julie back. Nothing will. Something shuffles through the dark. I'm suddenly alert. A rat, I think. But it sounded bigger. Heart pounding, I pick the candle off the floor and step away from the ladder. "Casey," Sam hisses. My candlelight illuminates only walls and floor and empty beer cans. I swing the candle away from my body, shedding the light as far as it will reach. There's nothing there. Aya scurries up the ladder, leaving enough space for me to climb up behind her. I don't want to turn my back on the tunnels, but the other option is waiting down here alone. I carefully place the candle back on the ground. Aya climbs higher, and the space widens. I tighten my fingers on the rung and pull myself off the ground. I think I see something out of the corner of my eye, but I don't slow down long enough to look. I catch up to Aya quickly. She's frozen again, staring up at the others. I hear pounding and flinch, but it comes from above us, not below. "What's wrong?" I shout. I can just make out the brown bottoms of Woody's Converse sneakers above Sam's head. He swears loudly, then bangs his fist against the manhole cover. The sound echoes through the tunnel. "It's stuck," he shouts. "We're trapped." Above me, Aya releases a horrified sob. "We're going to die." 14. "Trapped?" I whisper. I'm only a few feet off the ground, but I can't make myself pry my fingers off the ladder. Horror holds me in place. "Are you sure?" The brown soles of Woody's sneakers shift on the rung above Sam. I stare at them, willing them to climb higher. Woody bangs against the manhole cover.
"Let us out!" he shouts.
He pounds again, and the entire ladder shakes. I curl my fingers around the rungs and close my eyes. Shayna swears, and Aya releases another choked sob.
"Careful," Sam says.
I barely even notice the shaking. I'm too distracted by the darkness pressing in around us. I cling to the ladder, like a worm dangling on a hook. I make myself count to 10, quickly first, then slowly. 1, 2, 3. The last time I counted like this was the night Shayna ditched me at Jasper's party. I stood frozen in the middle of that creepy living room, hands shaking as, one by one, everyone turned to stare at me. The men were worn out, like Jasper. They had watery eyes and cracked lips. One of them leaned forward, and the bare mattress creaked beneath his weight.
"I heard about you."
He bared his teeth. It wasn't quite a smile.
"Shayna brought you to keep me company."
He shook a whiskey bottle at me, like I was a dog he was trying to bribe. "What are you talking about?" I asked him. Sweat plastered his hair to his head, and his jeans drooped low around his bony waist. He would have been cute, but drugs had hollowed out his cheeks and left his eyes vacant and cloudy.
"Just last week, I asked Shayna why she didn't share any of her friends with us." He licked his cracked lips. "She said she had a real hot piece for me. And here you are."
I cursed Shayna in my head. "I have a boyfriend." The man stood and stepped toward me. I could see his ribs through his thin t-shirt.
"Sure you do," he said.
I raced for the bathroom without another word, pulling the door shut behind me. I crouched on the cold tile, trying to steady my breathing. I counted to 10 over and over, and when that didn't calm me down, I dug a pill out of my pocket. Oxycodone, left over from my knee surgery. I bit into the pill, closing my eyes as it dissolved on my tongue. Then I pulled out my cell phone and dialed Sam's number with trembling fingers. Woody bangs against the manhole cover, startling me back to the present. Sam says something, but his voice is too low for me to hear.
I catch sight of a strand of Shayna's pink hair and look away, angry. I don't know why I'm surprised when shit like this happens anymore. Shayna ruins everything she touches. There's a shuffle above us. Sam climbs up next to Woody, and both of them pound against the cover together. Hope rises in my chest, and I grip the ladder even tighter. But they stop pounding after a second. Sam swears.
"Climb down," he says.
"No." I picture peeling my fingers away from the rungs, but it's like they've been glued into place. Julie was murdered down there. We can't go back.
"Casey," Sam whispers, "you have to go down."
I move my feet first, careful not to look into the shadows behind me, but the darkness seems to pulse. I picture it edging closer, the circle of candlelight growing smaller around us.
"Oh my God,"
Aya says when she drops to the ground next to me. She curls over herself, her shoulders shaking.
"Oh my God, oh my God."
"Shh, calm down." I slide my arm around Aya's back, but she doesn't look at me. It's easier to feel strong when I'm comforting her. She starts to rock, and for just a moment, I forget my own fear.
"Oh my God," she whispers. "We're gonna die. We're gonna die."
She says this over and over again until the words lose meaning, or maybe I don't want to think about what they mean. Her voice carries through the silent tunnel. It bounces off walls and travels far into the darkness. Fear creeps back into my bones as I push the sweaty hair off Aya's forehead and try to quiet her. Her sobs will call Julie's murderer right to us. Unless the murderer knows where we are already.
"We're gonna die,"
Aya repeats in a shaky, desperate voice. Shayna crawls down from the ladder.
"Can't you shut her up?"
she asks. She leaps to the ground, her boots silent on the concrete. I don't want her help, but she huddles next to me anyway.
"She's scared," I say.
Shayna raises an eyebrow, giving me a look halfway between duh and what the hell are you talking about?
"Or don't you remember that we found one of our best friends dead a few minutes ago?" I snap.
"I remember," Shayna says, her voice pure venom. She steps past me and takes Aya's chin, tilting her head so the candlelight illuminates her face. Aya's eyes are rimmed in red, her pupils dilated.
"She's high."
"Aya doesn't get high," I point out, even though I saw her stoned off her mind just a few hours earlier. Aya usually avoids drugs and cigarettes, claiming they're bad for her skin, and whatever she's on now is a lot stronger than pot.
"Did you drug her too?"
Shayna doesn't look at me. She bends down and her pink-tipped hair sweeps over her forehead. She looks like she's going to kiss Aya on the cheek or whisper something in her ear. Instead, she slaps her across the face. The sharp sound of skin hitting skin echoes around us.
"Hey!"
Fury rears inside me. I grab Shayna's shoulders and shove her back, angling myself between her and Aya. Aya releases another hysterical sob.
"What the hell is wrong with you?"
I hiss. Shayna pushes her hair behind her ears.
"I thought it would help."
I glare at her as Aya crumples against my shoulder, sobbing and rocking.
"I'm pretty sure you made her worse," I say, patting Aya's hair.
Shayna shakes her head and stares up at Woody and Sam.
"How could any of this be worse?" she mutters.
A drop of water hits the ground, sending every nerve in my body on edge. I whip around and stare.
"It's nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing," I repeat, like a prayer.
Shayna flinches and grabs my arm, her icy fingers circling my wrist. We wait like that, frozen. But nothing happens. Woody climbs back down the ladder next, breaking the spell.
"That manhole cover isn't budging," he says, wiping his grimy hands on his jeans. "We should find another exit."
A short, nervous laugh bubbles from my lips.
"You mean go back?"
"It'll be okay."
Sam kisses me on the forehead, and warmth flickers through my skin.
"We'll stick together."
"You're kidding, right?" I scoot closer, and Sam wraps his arm around my shoulder. It makes me feel safer, if only for a moment.
"We don't really have a choice."
Sam squeezes my arm.
"The manhole cover is stuck."
Water drips from the tunnel's ceiling and hits my elbow. I flinch and huddle closer to the candle.
"We can't go back there."
I glance up at Sam, wanting him to take my side. He stiffens.
"Casey," he starts, using his "you're being unreasonable" voice.
I step away from him, suddenly annoyed.
"She's right,"
Shayna says, before I can defend myself. She tries to catch my eye, but I avoid looking at her. She always does this when she pisses me off. For the next hour or two, she'll agree with everything I say, just to soften me up. But I don't want to be softened up this time. Shayna's the reason we're down here. She's the reason Julie's dead. I squeeze my eyes shut to keep the tears from leaking onto my cheeks. I meant what I said to her before. I'm done being her friend. I'm done with all of this. Shayna clears her throat and looks down at the toe of her boots.
Who knows if we'll find another exit?
"That one is stuck," Sam says. "We can't just stay here and bang on it like a bunch of idiots."
"We could spend more than 2 minutes trying to get it open," I insist.
"Someone could walk by and hear us."
Aya stands, wobbling a little on her heels. Tears stream down her face, but she brushes them away with her palm.
"They might stop to help."
"No one would help," Shayna mutters.
Even I can't bring myself to agree with Aya. It's somewhere around 4 o'clock in the morning in a shady neighborhood in Lower Manhattan, and we're pounding on a manhole cover.
"I tried everything," Woody says.
"Shit."
Shayna tries to look at me again, but when I don't meet her eyes, she turns to Sam.
"There are still some candles left burning. If we go now, we might be able to find another exit before they go out."
So much for being on my side.
"I'm not going back there," I say.
"Jesus, what's your problem?" Shayna snaps, shoving her hands in her pockets. Sam drops a hand on my shoulder and squeezes.
"Guys, drop it," he says. "We have bigger issues right now."
Shayna stares at his hand. Her eyes narrow.
"I get it."
Her mouth twists into a cruel smile. "The lovebirds talked things over and decided this is my fault. Everything's my fault, isn't it?" She turns to Sam, narrowing her eyes.
"You're acting like I forced you into something, but I was there. You wanted it just as bad as I did."
"You wanted it just as bad as I did?" The words repeat in my head like a math problem I can't figure out. I frown and cross my hands over my chest.
"What are you talking about?"
Shayna's eyes widen. She looks from me to Sam.
"I thought you... shit."
"What do you mean, shit?"
Something nags at me, but I brush it away. I'm being paranoid. I turn to Sam, but he won't meet my eyes.
"What's going on?"
I ask. The nagging feeling gets stronger, more insistent.
"Nothing,"
Shayna shakes her head. She stares down at her boots. The nagging feeling is different now. It's panicked and ugly. Desperate. I turn back to Sam, heat rising in my face.
You said you were with someone. My voice shakes, but I force the words out anyway.
When we were broken up.
Casey.
He reaches for me, but I slap his hand away. I feel dirty where I let him touch me.
Shayna, I hiss. You were with Shayna?
I wait for him to deny it, to tell me I'm crazy, that he would never hook up with my best friend. But he can't even meet my eyes. Dread forms a lump in the pit of my stomach. I picture him looking at her, touching her skin, and my stomach turns. Sam's face looks ashen, guilty.
I tried to tell you, he says.
You were giving me shit for hanging out with her, and all along you...
I can't even say the words. I'm going to be sick.
I know, Sam says.
That was wrong. I'm sorry.
I close my eyes. His words mean nothing to me. They're static. White noise.
You were broken up, Shayna adds. Like this explains everything.
I round on her. All the frustration and anger I've felt since she spiked my drink bubbles up inside me. I'm an idiot for thinking she actually cared about me. She doesn't care about anything or anyone but herself.
Everyone said you were a bitch. I actually thought you were my friend, I say.
Shayna stares at me for a beat. Then her lips curl into a smirk that's halfway between embarrassed and proud.
Don't be a tease. You like me because I'm a bitch. You wish you were more like me.
I have to curl my hand into a fist so I don't slap her.
Shayna, stop. Sam shoots her a look.
Shut up, Sam, I hiss. I don't want his help. I don't want anything from him.
Oh, calm down, Case. Shayna frowns. It didn't mean anything. We were just having fun.
Of course you were, I shout. You're always having fun. Fun's the only thing that matters to you. Sam takes a step toward me.
Casey, please, he says. As soon as we get out of here, we'll talk. I can explain everything.
My whole body shakes with anger, but my voice is steady. Cold, even. I turn on Sam.
I trusted you.
Sam hunches his shoulders and stares at his feet. I see his lips on her neck, his hands slipping beneath her shirt. Disgust rises in my throat. I have to get out of here. I push past Sam and climb back onto the ladder. Anger propels me forward, and I move up the rungs two at a time, until the manhole is directly above me. I loop one arm around the ladder to steady myself and run my fingers along the cool metal. There has to be a latch or a groove, something that Sam and Woody missed, but the surface is smooth. Frustration bubbles up inside me. I grit my teeth and bang against the cover with all my strength. A dull ache forms at the back of my head. I close my eyes, trying to calm the steady beat of pain. I feel like I'm at the clinic again. I'm huddled in the corner of my room that first night, sweat drawing lines down my back. I can't stop shaking. Tremors of pain roll through my body. My stomach churns, even though I haven't eaten since this morning. My arms trembling. I crawl to the foot of my bed and fumble for my sneakers. The painkiller I snuck in clatters onto the cold tile floor. The door to my room creaks open, and a nurse walks in. My heart pounds wildly. I grope for the pill, but it slips from my sweaty fingers.
Where did you get this?
The nurse kneels and picks my last pill up off the floor.
I need that,
I say, grabbing at her hands. She shakes her head and leaves the room, shutting the door behind her.
No,
I shout. I crawl over to the door and bang against the wood until my knuckles bruise. My eyes flicker open again. I'm in the tunnel, not rehab, and my knuckles are raw from pounding at the manhole cover, but it hasn't budged. The headache seeps into my skull. I imagine it like a wild creature, its long tentacles pressing against my brain and temples. My body feels heavier as I climb back down the ladder and drop to the ground next to my friends. It's stuck.
You don't say,
Woody mutters, cocking an eyebrow. The rest of them look at me, waiting. I wipe the grease from the ladder rungs onto the back of my jeans. I don't want to think about what happens next, but Shane is right. It's better to get it over with now, before the candles die. Okay, I say. Casey, Sam puts a hand on my arm, the same hand that touched Shayna's skin and hair and lips. I pull away, disgusted. Don't, I warn him. I still can't look him in the face, so I stare at the toe of his sneaker. Let's find another exit and get the hell out of here. Sam nods and peels the candle off the floor. The flame sparks as he holds it out in front of him.
Let's go, he says.
15. Sam leads us down the tunnel, holding the candle in front of him like a beacon. Shayna's arm brushes against his as they walk, and I look away. I always thought she hated Sam, or that she was jealous of how much time I spent with him. Now I know better. I should have figured it out the night of Jasper's party. I was crouched in the bathroom, waiting to be rescued by Sam, when I heard Shayna's gravel on sandpaper voice on the other side of the plywood door.
Where's Casey? She demanded,
but she started toward the bathroom without waiting for an answer. Her high-heeled boots bit into the floorboards, making them shake. I wanted to crawl into the dirty shower stall and hide. I wanted to back up against the door and hold it shut with my body. But that was stupid. Shayna was my best friend. Seconds later, she threw open the bathroom door.
What are you doing in here?
I swallowed, feeling the last grains of oxy dissolve on my tongue. Hiding from that creep you left me with.
That creep is our hookup. He's gonna score us some H.
Shayna wiggled her eyebrows, but I just stared.
H? As in heroin. Are you crazy? I hissed.
Duh, Shayna whispered, giggling.
Come on.
She started to stand, but I grabbed her wrist, pulling her back to the floor.
Wait, I said. What did you promise him?
Shayna's smile faded.
What? What did you say you'd give him in exchange for the drugs?
Shayna chewed her lip. Her eyes traveled down my body.
You wouldn't have to do much, she said. Just make out a little.
Disgust turned my stomach.
No,
I said. Shayna started to argue, but a car rumbled to a stop outside, cutting her off.
That's Sam, I told her.
Shayna rolled her eyes.
Of course, you called Prince Charming to come and save you, she muttered.
I pushed past her and dashed for the front door, ignoring the whistles and hollers that followed me out. I kick a beer can, watching it rattle down the subway tunnel. Sam had been furious. He broke up with me the very next morning. It hadn't occurred to me until now that all of it had been Shayna's fault. If she hadn't dragged me to that party, Sam never would have seen me like that. He wouldn't have dumped me. I wouldn't have been sent to rehab. And he never would have ended up with Shayna. Everything would have been fine.
Woody elbows me. You want? He asks,
holding a silver flask engraved with a marijuana leaf. I shake my head. No thanks. Woody shrugs and takes a drink.
Right, he says. Shayna mentioned you were doing the whole sober thing.
Yeah, I say. They look down on drinking in rehab. Woody nods, like I just said something deeply profound.
I get that.
He takes another swig from his flask.
So, are you a Jesus freak now?
What? I cough.
My cousin went to rehab last year. When she came back, she was, like, really into Jesus. She started saying all this stuff about how he was driving her car and that he takes over when she can't handle her life.
Woody fumbles with the flask's lid.
Apparently, there was a lot she couldn't handle because she prayed all the time, too. I mean, she prayed like it was her job. Come to think of it, I don't think she had a real job.
I'm not into Jesus now, I say, cutting him off. It wasn't that kind of rehab. Woody nods, solemnly, like he's well acquainted with the many types of rehab.
Do you think it's God? He asks.
He stretches his arms over his head, and his shirt sleeve moves up, revealing the Japanese characters he had tattooed on his bicep sophomore year. He thinks they read peace, but Aya told me they actually say kimoi, which translates to creep.
Do I think what's God? I ask. Whatever happened to Julie? Maybe it's the rapture, and God is killing all non-believers.
I think about the bloody wound hollowing out her gut, and the way someone strung her up across the tunnels for us to find. I twist Julie's ring around my thumb. It's too big for me, and I'm afraid it'll slip from my finger. It's not the rapture, I say.
Then what do you think it is?
Something thuds to the ground ahead of us. I stop walking and grab Woody's arm.
Oh, God,
Aya moans.
Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God.
She huddles against Shayna's back. Sam squints into the darkness, holding the candle before him. The light illuminates only the rough stone and brick wall.
I think it was just some dirt crumbling from the ceiling, he says.
We start shuffling forward again. It definitely could have been dirt, I tell myself. These walls are old enough. I'm surprised we don't hear more bits and pieces crumbling off them. But the noise didn't really sound like dirt. I huddle closer to Woody, pushing that thought to the very back of my mind. He drops a hand on my shoulder and squeezes. It's a nice, brotherly gesture, and I feel a rush of gratitude toward him.
Well?
Woody asks.
What do you think it is?
It's a second before I remember that he's asking me what I think killed Julie. I think it was a man, I say. He raises an eyebrow, and I tell him about the girls I heard talking about the homeless serial killer who lives in these tunnels. Woody blows air out through his teeth.
That's messed up, he mutters. Do you think he's down here now?
I stare straight ahead, into the darkness that's like a wall outside the safety of Sam's candlelight. If I think too hard about all the things that could be hiding out there, I wouldn't be able to take another step. I swallow, and the back of my throat tastes like ash. Yeah, I say. I think he's down here now. We continue moving through the tunnels in silence, eventually reaching a fork. Woody gives my shoulder one last squeeze and jogs up next to Sam.
This way, he says,
pointing down a narrow tunnel that twists away from the main subway system. It's much smaller than the tunnels we've been walking through so far, and there aren't any tracks stretching across the ground. Sam frowns.
You're sure? He asks. I practically live in the subways, Woody says.
A clump of blonde hair falls over his forehead, and he gives his head a practiced toss to get it out of his eyes.
This one's headed north, yeah? Should take us to Chambers. There's definitely a way out there. We'll probably find something after, like, 20 minutes of walking.
20 minutes? Shayna hisses.
Tops, Woody says.
Look, if he thinks there's an exit this way, we should take it, Sam says. Better than wandering around lost.
I guess, Shayna mutters.
The new tunnel is too narrow for us to walk side by side. We form a line. Woody, then Sam, Shayna, Aya, and me. Our footsteps echo off the curved walls around us, and water drips from the ceiling. I slip my cell out of my jeans pocket and check the time. 4:37 a.m. We'll be out of here before 5, I tell myself. I try to picture what will happen next. Would we go right to the police station to report Julie's murder? I imagine someone wrapping a blanket around my shoulders and drinking watery coffee while I explain how we found her. The thought makes me shiver. It's equal parts comforting and horrifying. The tunnel slopes upward. I lean forward to keep from losing my balance. A broken light bulb juts out from the wall, and glass crunches beneath my feet. A cockroach darts over the bricks. I cringe, looking away. The wall ends, abruptly, replaced by thick wooden slabs that stand several feet apart. Sam's candlelight flickers over another lane of thick metal rails on the other side. I dig my cell phone out of my pocket and aim the light past the tracks. Chicken wire stretches between the two lanes. It comes up to my waist, affixed to the wood with bright orange zip ties. A wooden beam cuts across the slabs, dividing the space in half. Do you think there's something over there? I crouch to peer below the beam, shining my light over another brick wall on the other side of the train tracks. An exit or another platform? A train thunders through the tunnels before Woody can answer. I don't see it, but dirt rains down from the ceiling, coating my hair. My heart leaps in my chest. Trains mean people.
There must be a working subway directly above us, Woody says, shaking the dust from his head.
How do we find it? Aya asks.
The tunnel's sloping up, Woody says. They should connect at some point.
The others hurry forward, but I stand too quickly and smack the back of my head against the wooden beam. Pain spreads through my skull, and a wave of dizziness washes over me. For a second, I can't see. Shit, I mutter. Someone drops a hand on my shoulder. It's okay, I say, rubbing my head. I'm fine.
Casey? Woody calls.
I blink, and my eyesight clears. Sam and Shayna huddle together at the far end of the tunnel, the candle flickering between them. Woody stands a few feet away, Aya hovering behind him. They all stare at me, eyes wide with horror.
Oh my God!
Aya lifts a trembling hand to her mouth. Fear trickles through me. I turn my head. Meaty gray fingers rest on my shoulder. The flesh is mottled and waterlogged. The fingers swollen to twice their size. Jagged black nails jut out from them, looking like they might pop off. There's a raw, bloody wound where the pinky should be. I scream and jerk forward. The hand tumbles from my shoulder and smacks onto the dirt-covered floor. Two bones jut out of the bloody, decaying stump.
16. I stumble into the wall, swatting my arms and shaking out my hair. I still feel those fingers on my shoulder, the fingernails grazing my skin.
Holy shit, Woody shouts.
Sam lunges forward and yanks me away from the decaying hand. I shudder violently.
I can't seem to catch my breath. Shayna takes a step forward, her eyes wide.
What's that? She says,
and I jerk my head around to where she's staring. The decaying remains of an arm stick out from a narrow crevice just above us. Bloody flannel rags cling to what's left of the jagged bones and shredded meaty flesh. Nausea turns my stomach. I sink against the wall and ball up a fist at my mouth to keep from vomiting. I'm dimly aware of a cold hand brushing against my arm. I flinch away.
Hey, it's just me, Sam says, holding his hands in front of him. Are you okay?
I'm okay. I take another deep breath and clench my hands to still the trembling. Sam aims the candlelight at the arm.
It looks like he got caught on the tracks, Sam says, nodding at the arm. See the rail? There must be another tunnel above us.
I squint into the shadows behind the arm. Metal train tracks glint back at me, barely visible through the crevice. I swallow. Maybe Sam's right. Maybe this poor man just got caught on the rails and lost his arm. I take a step closer, fear prickling the back of my neck. I can't help thinking of those girls I overheard at the party again.
They never found his body, they had said.
Let's go, I say. I swipe at my shoulder again, even though I know there's nothing there. I want to get the hell out of here.
Amen, Shayna adds.
We hurry forward. I slide my phone back into my pocket. Then, thinking twice, I pull it back out and turn up the display. A narrow, bright spotlight appears in the inky darkness, illuminating the back of Aya's leopard print dress. She flinches and glances over her shoulder at me. Blue eyeliner streams down her cheeks, mixing with her tears. Her narrow black eyes look small without it. Black hair falls loose from its fancy chignon and clings to her head, limp and lifeless.
We're gonna die,
Aya whispers, lips trembling. Her lipstick's gone too, except for the faint smudges of red around the corners of her mouth. I lift my phone higher, but Aya flinches and shies away from the light before I can illuminate her pupils. Sorry. I reach for her hand. It feels skinny and fragile, like it belongs to a sick person. But then Aya squeezes my fingers, and she feels strong again.
I'm so scared, Case, she whispers.
She tries to keep a sob from escaping her lips, and her chest rises and falls.
We're gonna die, just like Julie.
I picture gray skin and black fingernails. I feel the cold hand resting on my shoulder. My heart starts beating faster. We're not going to die, I squeeze Aya's hand. Remember when we spent the night at Julie's house last summer? Julie's place is the only one with a finished basement, so we stayed over one weekend. Her mom set us up with popcorn and ordered pizza, and then left us alone for the rest of the night. We drank a bottle of peach-flavored champagne that Shayna had stolen, and gossiped till 4 in the morning. Aya stares past me, her small black eyes flitting about like a bird. I don't think she heard me, but she nods.
She made us play that game, she says. The scary one?
The Ouija board, I say. Julie spent the whole night trying to freak us out. She made us say Bloody Mary into her bathroom mirror and kept trying to get us to tell scary stories. But the Ouija board was her favorite. She lit a bunch of candles and poured us all a glass of the sickly sweet champagne and announced that we were going to contact the spirit of some long-dead serial killer.
Right, I say.
Remember how you couldn't sleep? And we stayed up half the night, painting each other's nails and talking, until you finally passed out on the couch.
remember? Aya nods.
I remember,
she says. I squeeze her hand. And the next day, you woke up and realized there was nothing to be afraid of. That Julie just made everything up to scare us. My phone blinks off. I hear Aya's raspy breathing in the darkness. I fumble for the power button and switch the phone back on again.
But this is real,
Aya says when the light hits her face.
And Julie's dead.
She pulls her hand away from mine and shuffles forward in silence. Every few minutes, I hear her sniffle, and she wipes her cheek with her hand. We follow Woody down one tunnel and then another, deeper and deeper into the subway's depths. Sam's candle bobs ahead of me, and I play a game of letting it move farther and farther away, like I don't care about him. But there's an empty space that grows larger as the distance between us stretches. I want to feel his arm around my shoulder, and I want to hear him say that everything's going to be all right, in his quiet, confident voice. He has the kind of voice you can't help believing. I wrap my arms around my chest, trying to shake the feelings away. I look away from the candlelight and check my phone. 5:12. I walk a little faster and open my mouth to call out to Woody. Something glimmers in the tunnel ahead. My mouth hangs open, but I forget what I was about to shout.
What the hell was that? Shayna says. I think it was a light, Sam says.
He starts moving faster.
Maybe this is Chambers.
We walk faster, hurrying toward the glimmer. The ground angles down slightly. The tunnel opens up, and we spill into a wider, open space. A stone ceiling arcs high above us, and rounded brick walls surround us on all sides. Two more tunnels twist off from the walls, and all are just as narrow and dark as the one we came down. I look around the space for the glimmer and step right into a puddle of water.
What the hell?
I mutter, shuffling back. Water seeps through my flimsy leather shoe and soaks the bottom of my jeans. Shayna splashes into the puddle next to me.
Shit,
she says, staring down at her soaked leather boot. Disappointment flashes across her face.
You guys, this must have been what we saw. Our lights reflected off the water.
We're quiet as it sinks in that we're no closer to finding an exit. I make my way around the side of the space, cringing as water seeps into my shoes. I use my phone to illuminate the two new tunnels. Water pools along the bottoms of both.
This must be why these tunnels are closed, I say.
Woody comes up behind me.
Is that a sign?
He asks. I frown.
Like from God?
He gives me a look and takes the phone out of my hand, sending a beam of light toward the wall. Faded black paint labels the tunnel. City Hall, it reads. I glance at Woody, wondering if he recognizes the name. Frown lines crinkle his forehead.
Shit,
he mutters.
What do you mean, shit? Sam asks.
Woody scratches the back of his head with my phone.
Look, he says. I must have gotten a little turned around.
Turned around? Shayna asks.
I thought.